Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, I first want to give thanks to my Heavenly Father for blessing me and waking me up this morning. And secondly, I want to thank my loyal listeners who join me week after week as we discuss these topics. And also thank you for the feedback that I have been receiving as it relates to topics that we discuss on both Mondays and on Tuesdays. And if you have any topic of interest, please feel free to either contact me if you know me personally, send me an email at JeanetteAbneyLMFT@gmail.com or JabneyLMFT@gmail.com. Or you could go on to my website at JeanetteAbneyLMFT.com and leave any comments or suggestions. And there's, you can also find me on Psychology Today because I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I enjoy working with individuals and talking to people from all walks of life, which brings me to the topic today as it relates to sexual assault awareness for 2019. Now, I have my first caller on the line, and I know who it is, so let me log her on. Good afternoon, Ms. Amy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well. Still running around like a chicken with my head cut off, but you know how I'll be procrastinating, but we still get it done. I had to run next door to try to get somebody to do my Facebook Live, so I ran over there with, like, less than 10 minutes before the show. But they was able to do it. So I don't know what it looked like. I don't know what it sounded like, but I was talking a mile a minute. I was talking so fast. But which brings us to this topic. Now, you brought this to my attention, and I thank you for that, as well as many other topics that we do be doing. But the month of April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Now, with that being said, many may not be aware, however, that the month of April was chosen as this time or a time to educate, prevent, and bring awareness to the violence against women, and that doesn't mean that a male cannot be sexually assaulted, because they can. Now, some of the information that I found, Amy, and I shared it on Facebook, and it indicated that 1 in 2 women have been sexually assaulted, 1 in 5 men, and the problem with this in regards to why it is so important to bring a sense of awareness is because there were 70% of instances of rape that they indicated that are estimated to go under or unreported, meaning a lot of times individuals do not say anything, especially when a male has been sexually assaulted. Now, sexual violence is any sexual violence or sexual activity where consent is not freely given. And we will talk about that a little bit too, Amy, because I was getting conflicting information even as early as today when we talk about consent, because sometimes a person may say something, do something because they're afraid for their life. And I was also watching the news where this young lady thought she had got into her Uber driver's vehicle and was sexually assaulted and also killed. So sometimes the person may seem like they're going along with it, and it doesn't mean that they're really going along with it, especially depending on the situation. So I want to throw that out there also. Now, when we talk about sexual violence, it affects millions of people each year in the United States, and more than, like I said, 1 in 3, and then some more statistics indicated that 1 in 4 men have experienced sexual violence during physical contact at some point in their lives. Now, with nearly 1 in 5 and 1 in 38 men have experienced it, they also indicate that many have been raped throughout their lifetime. Amy, did you know that every 98 seconds, someone in the U.S. becomes sexually assaulted, and over half of them are between the ages of 18 to 34. And it doesn't mean that children cannot be sexually assaulted, because they can, and that's a whole other topic. Now, sexual assault, sexual harassment, and abuse are preventable. So we got another caller, and then, Amy, I want you to tell the listeners who you are, and then let's see who this person is, which I know. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hello?
Never ended in 3-2. Hi, Lady T. Thank you for calling in with such short notice. I appreciate it. Because I know you have some information that people need to really hear as it relates to this topic. Okay, Amy, tell the listeners who you are, what you do, and why you brought this topic to my attention.
Well,
I'm Amy. I'm Jeanette's intern, and I brought this to Jeanette's attention because it's something that happens so frequently, and it should be addressed, and we can't assume people know this information or what sexual harassment is because it comes in many different forms.
And you know what? And that is true, Amy, because a lot of times we talk about sexual assault and sexual harassment, where we know assault, a person has been actually assaulted, but there are a lot of individuals that have been sexually harassed, and that can also have a lot to do with fear, intimidation, and a whole lot of different things in regards to the harassment part. Now, you know I always call you Lady T. Lady T, I want you to share why this topic is important to you.
Well, I was assaulted in the military, and I knew of quite a few women that were assaulted in the military, but they never did anything about it. And I decided I would say something about it. And even though they put me through a lot, I mean, they were determined to just tear me up because they were trying to protect themselves, they try to protect the male soldiers, and they try to cover their tracks and try to make it like it didn't happen. And there were, when I came forward finally, several other young ladies came forward because this guy had assaulted them as well, but they were afraid to tell because he was threatening them. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it was hard. I went through a lot. I mean, it cost me a lot. I was sick. I had a mild heart attack. A lot of things. I was in the hospital a lot. I was just sick because I kept playing over in my head, how could this happen to me? 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 So,
mm-hmm.
And then it made me overly cautious with my own kids, with my daughters, because I'm like, did anybody touch you? Anybody touch you? Tell me, you know. And I was completely guarded around them because of what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
go ahead.
No, I want to say, I want to thank you for your courage in regards to sharing that information, because a lot of individuals are not aware that it does happen in the military. And a lot of times individuals go to the service to try to have a better life. And when these things happen and you start wondering, you know, what's going on with your daughter, what's going on with your son, you know, it happens in jail.
Mm-hmm.
It happens with the LGBTQ community in schools, in
mm-hmm.
college, in the workplace. And many individuals don't know what to do. And that's why I commend you for sharing this, Lady T, because sexual abuse can lead to long-lasting and even lifelong consequences, and it is a serious problem on the individual, the family, and towards society. We look at the tattoo movements. We're looking at all these other different things that are going on. And also, you know, like you see, Aunt Tammy, a lot of times we're so busy looking at our girls, we don't pay any attention to what happened to our boys. You know, because
right.
it happened to them.
Right.
That's scary.
That's right.
Because, I mean, even when you're in a relationship and you're dating someone who's been sexually assaulted, a lot of times the guilt plays a role in the relationship, especially if you're dating that person at the time when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of my husbands, he had a situation where, you know, he had married young. And when he married young, his wife was at a house, a party or something, and apparently she was drinking and they sexually assaulted her. His marriage to her probably would have been lasting much longer, but mentally he couldn't handle that because he felt he could not protect her. So that becomes a whole another issue. And like I said,
yeah.
even though we know life, well, as adults can also be molested or be assaulted. But we need to bring a sense of awareness. So I'm going to let you finish talking, Tammy. What else would you want to share with the listeners in regards to this?
Well, I was just going to say that if you allow it, it'll affect every area of your life. I mean, everything. And it did affect every area of my life. But because I have a relationship with God, it allowed me to come up out of that rut. And I was able to depend on God, and I was able to get through it. And I was, after a while, I was able to forgive the person who did it to me, not face to face, but I just said, you know what, I forgive them. You know what? And then I was able, you know, to be in another relationship after a while, and I was able to allow my kids to go, my girls to go places and do things without me, you know, like, oh my God, this is going to happen. What happened to me is going to happen to them. So when I got over all that, you know, it was just growth. And I was able to tell my story with confidence and to help other people, to let them know I made it so you can make it too. Mm-hmm. There is life after being assaulted.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what, Tammy, that's powerful. That is very powerful because even with myself growing up and my mother had three daughters and I never understood why she was as strict as she was on us. And part of it is because some of the things that she's seen, some of the things she may have experienced in her lifetime, and that does kind of carry over, and we think sometimes it could be a generational curse. I remember training with the Women's Resource Centers here in Oceanside, and I was also part of their sexual assault response team. And I learned a lot, and when I first did my training, I remember being told, oh, Jeanette, don't worry about it. You're not going to have to go out on any calls. Lord, my first night, my phone was blowing up. I had to go to the hospital, you know, to be an advocate. And it really taught me how to empathize with individuals that have been assaulted and to help them get through this because that is a pure violation, you know. And then the healing can take, it can vary from person to person because individuals can become suicidal. They can start using drugs because there's a whole lot of things that can happen to them if they don't get the help. So I want individuals to know that help is available. And there's a number that you can call, which is 1-800-656-HOPE. And they're open and available 24/7. If you're in the Oceanside, San Diego County area, you can also contact the Women's Resource Center. And you can also call a crisis hotline. But the main thing is to gain a sense of awareness, to relearn how to report it, and to also educate yourself and to obtain resources because it is preventable. Amy, what else do you want to share with the listeners in regards to this topic?
I think, I don't know, there's so much information, but sexual harassment can be just from words to assault, and it can happen. I know it happens a lot on campuses or when people are under the influence. Yeah, I think that if we just bring awareness to what sexual assault is, I know there's that campaign where I can't think of what they're called, but there's these men, these grown men, and they go around and talk about what consent is and how people can say no at any time. And I don't think that educational systems discuss that enough.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you know what, Amy, you had an experience too, just recently, just even being a teacher. And just the whole, that was, I don't know if it was your first time, but even trying to go through the process to prevent an assault, you know, that was traumatizing. And it can also elicit symptoms of anxiety and PTSD. I mean, you can share it if you want to. That's up to you because we're going to go talk about in the workplace. But what was that process in regards to trying to prevent? Because we say that it's preventable. But when you're trying to prevent it, are you trying to go get some help? Let's talk about the help part. What was your experience with trying to go get some help?
It was very difficult, like calling. Well, basically, long story short, a client sent some very inappropriate videos. And so the process to get help, when I called the police, they showed up at my house, and they made me feel like I was asking for it. And then getting a restraining order, basically, he told the judge he didn't mean to send them to me, and the judge took his side and gave him the benefit of the doubt. So this is something that you would assume that people know that if you have a client therapist relationships are not allowed, and clearly you can't make, like I said, you can't make assumptions that people know this thing. So now they don't know boundaries. So that's why those boundaries are there, and we need to make sure we express them to everybody because it's not common sense.
Correct. And you know what, Amy, and that is true because when you're talking about trying to date someone and you're talking about trying to get to know someone, and even with the information that I was finding, and they were talking about consent, and that's why I, with a disclaimer, I was very clear with that, because just because a person seemed like they're going along with it, you don't know if they've been raped before, victimized before, and they may feel that this is a way to get it over with faster to try to save their life. And it's not that they're consenting, because it is about power and control. And myself, I've worked with individuals on both sides of the spectrum. I've worked with individuals that have actually been sexually assaulted, and I've also worked with individuals who have also done the assaulting. And then I remember when I trained with the Women's Resource Center, Amy, my mother used to tease me when she was alive. She used to say that I was going to start the She Woman Man Hater Club, because she thought that I was going to be advocating and going around beating up all men that had sexually assaulted someone. But it taught me how to see things and not be judgmental. I also learned how to, when we talk about victim blaming, and Tammy spoke on that a little bit in regards to how she felt being in the military and reporting it, because a lot of times individuals will say, well, they didn't say anything, or they should have said something then. No, it doesn't matter when you say it, just say it. So if individuals are holding on to these things, and even being a therapist and working with individuals who have been victimized and held on to this for so long, and sometimes they may know the person that assaulted them, and in some cases they may not know the person that assaulted them. Tammy, you want to talk about that a little bit? I know I just saw your text, Tammy. Okay, I guess she's still gone. Okay, Amy, you want to speak on
that
a little
bit? Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
What about when you know, because like I said before, sometimes individuals may know the person that sexually assaulted them, and sometimes they may not know the person, because it can happen in your family. You know, I've known situations where people were sexually assaulted by their siblings, and sometimes they're afraid to say something because they don't want to be considered a problem for the family. You know, sometimes
right.
People have been sexually assaulted by teachers, and they're afraid that they don't want to ruin the teacher's reputation, or it could be a boss, where a boss may have problems with boundaries or become attracted to one of their coworkers, and that becomes a problem. It can happen in a church, you know, in a workplace.
Right.
And sometimes it can be a stranger, but 9 times out of 10, it's somebody you know.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was somebody I didn't know. And it was somebody way younger than me, and I was just, and he wasn't, you know, he wasn't attractive. He smelled, he was dirty. So I was like, okay, he's assaulting women because women don't want him, but that's not the way to go, because there's somebody for everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know? But dealing with the military, I understood after what they put me through, I understood why a lot of women in the military wouldn't come forward. But I, even though I went through what I went through, I still would encourage women in the military, if you get assaulted, come forward. It don't matter
mm-hmm.
how they're trying to threaten you, if they're telling you, this is not that, you're not going to go there, da, 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 because they threatened me, they talked about me, and I cried a lot of times, but I said, I'm still going to go through it. I'm still going to do it. I'm not stepping back. I'm not stepping down. They're not going to make me. I'm going through with it, and I did. And in the end, everything turned around for my good because
mm-hmm.
of what I went through and because I stood. But you're going to get a lot of flack. You're going to get harassed a lot. You're going to get talked about a lot. You're going to get bullied. And, you know, you just gotta go through it because,
correct.
You know what, it's not fair to other women if you've been assaulted and you're going to let this person stay out there to assault somebody else. You can stop them.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And the bottom line is, Tammy, the person needs some help. And sometimes, I mean, I was watching the news this morning, and when I was watching the news, and it had the situation of that young girl who basically had got into the vehicle and thought it was her Uber driver. And the man that did it was an African-American male. And he actually had her get into the vehicle, drove off, and allegedly may have, not only was she sexually assaulted, she was killed. You know, and that is horrible. That is really, really horrible. And she didn't even have the ability to tell or say something. Now, I want
mm-hmm.
to give some information, and it talks about, and this is called REACH, And it's a campus victim advocate. And they have some myths about victim blaming because, you know, a lot of times people feel victimized. They start thinking about, well, if I wouldn't have wore this, if I wouldn't have had something to drink, if I wouldn't have been in that situation. And this is what they talk about in regards to myths and victim blaming, sexual assault myths. The rape culture is a complex set of beliefs that encourages male sexual aggression and support violence against women. It is a society where violence is seen as sexy and sexually as violent. Now, they have, it talks about some buttons. It says most sexual assaults are committed by strangers. That's a myth because sometimes it's somebody you know. Allegations of rape are common. No. Now, there are some cases where if a person is trying to get back at you, but you got to not play with things like this because there are people that are really being sexually assaulted. So please, young lady and young man, do not cry wolf. Another one is if they don't struggle or fight back, it wasn't sexual assault. That's not true because sometimes they may be trying to save their life because if they try to fight back, it could be a problem. Because I tell people I would hate for somebody to try to sexually assault me. Probably depending on what kind of mood I'm in.
Right.
Kitty. But by that same token, I remember being a student. Hush, Amy. I remember being a student at MiraCosta College, and there was a person that they had indicated was sexually assaulting victims and students, and they didn't want people walking by themselves. And I'm normally solo, and I was walking to my car, and this man was following me. And I turned around, and when I turned around and went off on that man, I said, what you want? I got AIDS. Girl, I scared the hell out of man. I said, man, even though I don't have AIDS, I just told him that just in case he was, you know, was that person. Because I didn't know what to do. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I got to beat the hell out of this man. So, but by that same token, and that doesn't mean you will always be able to fight back because sometimes you can't because the person can definitely be overpowered. Another thing is once sexually aroused, men can't control their behavior. That's a myth. And victims provoke sexual assault by flirting, wearing sexy clothing, or getting drunk. That does not give a person a reason to do it. And once consent is given to sexual contact, it cannot be withdrawn. No means no. And there's also a such thing as spousal rape for individuals that don't know. Now, with victim blaming is the devaluing act that occurs when the victim of a crime is held responsible in whole or part of the crime that have been committed against them. You know, Timmy, as you were speaking, it kind of brought me to when we were looking even in politics. Look how much this stuff is coming up in politics when we're talking about sexual assault, sexual harassment. I really have empathy for Biden because here they're trying to bring this stuff up, but yet our current president can get away with, you know, certain things. But we have these biases, and then we don't want to believe people when they say these things. And that's partly, like you said, why people don't come forward. But then when you're trying to put a scandal together, then you get all these people. And that's why I believe it's difficult. But by that same token, we need to look at the facts. We need to look at the information and not just look at the delay of time.
Right.
What was you about to say?
I was going to say, I beat myself up for years trying to say, how did this happen to me? Why couldn't I? But you can't shut up. And you can't. Yeah, I'm telling Deja to shut up because she talking about you already said that. So anyway, I would. Yeah, but what I was going to say before I got interrupted was, you fight it. You fight it in your head because you keep trying to go over scenarios like, why was I in this place at this time? Why couldn't I have been someone else? Why did it have to be me? You keep questioning yourself. But when you said fight back, sometimes you can't fight back because I couldn't fight back because I was drugged. So I was knocked out. So I couldn't fight back because, you know, how was I going to fight back and I'm in a deep sleep?
Correct.
So sometimes you can't fight back. And he almost got away with it because when the detectives came, they believed his story, and it was just because I didn't wash anything I had on. They found, you know, they found his semen in my clothes, in my underwear, and then he was arrested. And I said, see, look at that, because he was lying. He said, no. I was like, thank you, God, because sometimes, you know, your judgment is cloudy. You can't remember nothing. You're just like, I don't know how, I don't know what happened. So are you? And then at that moment, they was just grilling me, and I was just crying. I was like, I don't know. And then in a moment, I just stopped, and I said, I didn't wash my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, what?
You know
I said,
what?
I didn't wash my clothes.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Tammy? It's very important you talk about that, because that's evidence. And a lot of times that's why,
yes.
I mean, the most evasive thing, I remember, like I said, being with the Oceanside Women's Resource Center as a sexual assault advocate, is when you go out on these calls, I had to go to the hospital. And I remember learning of something, and the young person indicated that she was on her period. And I said, well, did you tell the guy? She said, yeah, but he did it anyway. Girl, I told other people, get that tampon. Find that tampon. Girl, they was all up in her digging for that tampon, and they found it. And that tampon was full of semen. And that was enough evidence, because his semen was on the tampon. So those things happen, and it is very traumatic. Now, I want to also talk about, it talks about one reason people blame a victim is to distance themselves from the unpleasant or traumatic experience, and thereby confirming their own vulnerability to the risk. People reassure them by thinking, because I'm not like them, or because I didn't do that, this will never happen to me. But victim blaming attitude marginalizes the survivor. Don't blame yourself. You know, sometimes, and we always say, and we can take it with God, Tammy, we always say, well, why would God do this? That actually made you stronger. That actually helped you also be able to see things differently. And no one should be victimized. So I'm not saying that people should go through bad things to become strong, because you don't want to put yourself in those type of situations. But blaming yourself is not going to help you. But you can grow from this experience to be able to help other people. So, you know, there are some things that we're going to get into, how individuals can, you know, do some things to prevent these things from happening. But, you know, but by that same token, we also want to let people know that help is out there. Amy, anything you want to share with the listeners as it relates to this topic?
Well, when I got sexually harassed, I think I just started overthinking everything I was wearing, what I was doing, if I should wear makeup. And I constantly had to remind myself that it wasn't my fault, you know? Like, I didn't do anything to ask for this to happen, and it's just, he didn't know any better, you know, and even though it was just a message, it still can, you know, mentally affect somebody.
It can, because you start second guessing yourself, and you start trying to, you know, be aware of, like, what did I do, what did I say, what made it, and you know, with your situation, Amy, we sure couldn't figure that one out, because of the way he would talk to you and treat you, and was being so mean to you. And then the whole time he was attracted to you, you know, and I was like, wow. And see, I guess that's why I guess I keep my bullying spirit, because they know better. I'll be like, look, don't play with me. Do not play with me. Now, I have some information, and it talks about, and it's on Psychology Today, how denial and victim blaming keep sexual assault hidden, which is why we're bringing a sense of awareness. Because perpetrators, communities, and even victims get caught in the webs that hide the abuse. And we have hide it. Because in the vast and tragic history of sexual perpetrators, in they talk about how things like that, you know, have happened in regards to stalkers and stuff like that. We want to make sure that when we start talking about these things and listen to these stories, but it does illustrate a harsh reality of sexual assault, and it often remains hidden due to a combination of denial, manipulation, and confusion. But here are four reasons sexual assault stays in the shadow. Like I said, the myth of the evil perpetrator, and perpetrators can vary. So just because he looked like a good guy, just because he, you know, don't be looking for the bums and the winos and the drugs, because the perpetrator can look like anybody. So that, like I said, the evil myth, and people assume that the abusers are bad people who only do bad things and why they look evil. They don't always look evil. Another reason why it basically stays hidden is we want to wish that the world was safe. This relates to another reason people react to sexual abuse or assault with denial. We need our perception to be accurate so we can stay safe, and we must trust our instincts. Instincts are important. Another reason is the wrong kind of victim. Now, they have some information, and they talk about the Biloxi Bridge assault illustrates, because that was an incident that occurred, another problem which some victims are blamed because they're innocent enough to deserve victim status. If the person fights back, is not dressing the right way, is intoxicated, or if the abuser is someone they know, their story is more likely to be questioned and doubted. So we want to make sure that we don't do that. And confusion and self-blame and blame from outsiders takes a toll on the victim, which leads to self-blame, and the perpetrator of sexual abuse and violence are effective at blaming their victims, and many feel deep shame for following the abuse to occurring, being in the wrong place, not getting away. So, you know, Tammy, you touched on that a little bit in regards to the self-blame. When did you get to the point to where you said, you know what, I'm not blaming myself no more? When did you get to that point?
I got to that point when when I was in the service and I went up, my brother was preaching and he called people up to the altar, and I went up to the altar. I had already been from the military probably like two years now. And I went up to the altar and I just fell out and I said, you know, and I just screamed it out, you know, he assaulted me, he raped me. I yelled it out and my brother was like, what? And he prayed for me and he said, God said, if you let it go right now, he will heal you. He will, you know, he will make everything right. You won't have to worry about it again if you let it all go right now. And I did. I let it go right then and there. And right then and there, I stopped, you know, blaming myself. I got up, and I forgave the guy who did it. And I don't even know his name. I forgave him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Lord, I'm ready to move forward, and I'm ready to tell my story. I'm ready to help somebody else. And that was it. That's all it took was for me to let it out, and I did. I let it go. I stopped carrying it.
You know what? And that is the truth. I mean, that's powerful, because a lot of times individuals carry that. And me knowing your mama the way I know your mama, girl, mm-hmm. I could see her be ready to ride. Be like, come on, let's go. You know, because I know how mm-hmm. my family is. If I call my mama, I would call my grandmother and say somebody did something to me, girl, mm-hmm. it would have been a hot mess.
Yeah.
So, and that happens. That happens. But see, and sometimes parents, they do their best to protect their children. And in situations, because I'm quite sure your brother didn't know what to do when you did that, when you said it. And especially the way it came out, especially if there were no clues or no signs that something had even transpired. But sometimes
right.
everybody in the family don't know. They really don't know.
I had to yell it out. I had to scream it out. I had to yell it out, and I had to accept it. So when I screamed it out and yelled it and said, this is what happened to me, and I accepted that it happened to me, but I survived it.
Wow. Any comments in regards? Wow. Amy, what do you think about that? Or just, I mean, that's powerful what she just said. That is very powerful.
It is, and I just think it's different for everybody, you know, and it's important that you try different things to find what can help you get over what you're going through, and there is hope out there. There's plenty of people to talk to, and you don't have to ever see them to forgive them, and forgiving yourself is the hardest thing to do, but you didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And you know what? And that's another thing, too, is because when we start talking about the criminal justice system as it relates to things like this, because we see sometimes individuals get off, sometimes individuals say, you know, we're looking at even right now and today in our culture, in our society, we're looking at Bill Cosby. You know, we're looking at R. Kelly. We're, you know, a lot of names, you know, just pop up. And I'm quite sure there's been quite a few. You know, you have teachers that are doing things to students and, you know, and just kind of even differentiate between sexual assault versus harassment. Now, if you want to call in on the show, if you want to share, I'm trying to check my Facebook and all of that as we're on the air. You can give us a call at 516-387-1914 if you have a story to share or if you want to provide some information, because talking about sexual abuse is easier than you think. A lot of times individuals will say, well, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want nobody to know. I'm going to hide it. The problem is what's in you will come out. It will show in your behavior. It will show in how you treat people and all of that. Okay, we have another caller calling in. Let me log on this caller. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, number ended in 98. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just want to listen in.
Okay, no problem. If you want to chime in, if you got something to say, we would love to hear what you have to say as it relates to this topic because, like I said, the month of April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month and Harassment Month because we do need to do more in our communities. We need to talk to our children. We need to explain to them what sexual abuse is, what happens when you are harassed because, you know, I was looking at Amy, you know, when we went out to go eat for my birthday and you had left and I was sharing with you when you came back how the waitress just walked up and was winking at Ryder. And I was like, this baby only 3 years old and you sitting up here winking at him. You know, and a lot of times kids don't know what to do when they also being harassed, even in school. You know, we have to basically help support our children when they have people at school that are harassing them. Or, you know, I remember one time my granddaughter is very beautiful, and she said to me, I don't like when people call me pretty. And I said, why? She said, because I hear it all the time. And it was starting to have its effect on her because she felt she was being harassed as young as being in elementary school. And I think, Amy, that's probably why I was just so, I don't want to say mean, but people said I was mean. Because I remember a guy told me, he said, Jeanette, in elementary school, you were so cute, but you were so mean. But I guess that was my way of not being harassed because I took more on the tomboy role. And, you know, I would try to use food as a deterrent to get people not to look at me because I did not want to be harassed based on my physical appearance. Amy, what do you think about that in regards to just the harassment, how people can be harassed?
I think that we need to, like you said, we need to bring more awareness to it because it's talking to kids. It starts at a young age, like, or in college, like walking down the street and being catcalled. Those things all need consent. Like, people say some very graphic things thinking they're funny or that females or even males want to hear certain things, and it's not true. You know, you don't know them. Why are we yelling at people like that?
Correct. You know, you just brought my attention to something. I remember growing up in Compton, and I went to Willowbrook Middle School, and that was back in the early 80s. And we used to have older guys that used to hang out by our school, and as they would hang out by our school, they'd be like, hey, bird, come here. You know, standing there, flirting with kids. We were only like 11, 12, 13 years old. And here you got these guys that were out of high school or in high school standing by the middle school harassing us. And I hate to say, later on, somebody told me, because my son and father used to do it too. And, you know, but by that same token, I didn't know what that meant in regards to being sexually or being harassed. But that is
even,
a whole other form of harassment.
Even, like, it's important to talk to your kids about, like, what they wear, like, age appropriate. Like, right now, bikinis in Southern California are very, very small. And so when you're down at the beach,
mm-hmm.
I see these young girls, and I'm like, I don't even know how old they are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, important to talk to your kids about what's appropriate because if there's a time and a place for that, you know?
Correct. Now, let me give you some information, Amy, and I found this, and it talks about what is sexual harassment. And it is the definition of sexual harassment, and sexual harassment is defined as unwelcomed sexual advances, meaning I didn't ask you for that. It's not giving a person a compliment. You can give a person a compliment and they can say thank you, but also unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical conduct of a sexual nature when either the conduct is made in a term or condition as an individual's employment, education, living environment, or participation in a university community. The acceptance or refusal of such conduct is used as a basis or a factor in decision affecting an individual's employment, education, living environment, participation, and also the conduct unreasonably impacts an individual's employment, academic performance, or creates an intimidating, hostile, or offensive environment for that individual's employment, education, living environment. You know, Amy, it keeps coming up with living environments. You know what? And it's interesting because I've known individuals that have lived with people, and they basically have been sexually harassed by their landlords, by people living in their home, you know, and that's very sad. In other words, if you don't give me none, you can't live here. Or, you know, people do these types of things. Now, sexual harassment is defined by law, which includes, like I said, sexual favors, sexual advances, or other sexual conduct. Submission is either explicitly or implicitly conditioned affecting them. And the, when we talk about the, even the type, you know, it indicates that when we start talking about the conduct of sexual nature, the harassment also occurs when stated or implied that an individual must submit to conduct of a sexual nature. Now, the conduct, the hostile, you know, just to even be put in there, and like you said, you brought up something, unwanted sexual statements or sexual dirty jokes. Comment of physical attributes, spreading rumors, or rating others as to sexual activity or performance, talking about one's sexual activity in the front of others, and displaying or distributing sexually explicit drawings, pictures, or written material. Unwanted sexual statement can be made in a person in writing, electronically, by email, instant messaging, blogs, or web pages. You know, Amy, we're seeing a lot of this happening, too, also with social media. People are being sexually harassed by that too. You want to speak on that a little bit?
Yes. I mean, everything seems to come back to social media. Social media has a large impact on today's society. And people have more confidence when behind the screen or even on dating apps. Like, you are on a dating app, and all of a sudden you get an unwanted picture as the first message rather than using our words. So it's important that, you know, we talk about restrictions and privacy settings because people will reach out to people through messages. And when we have low self-esteem or lack of confidence or something, we're more likely to get involved in these unhealthy situations.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Amy, also we talk about the harassment, unwanted personal attention, letters, telephone calls, visits, pressure for sexual favors, pressure for unnecessary personal interaction, pressure for dates where a sexual romantic intent appears evident but remains unwanted. Also, unwanted physical or sexual advances, touching, hugging, kissing, fondling, touching oneself sexually for others to view, sexual assault, intercourse, or other sexual activity. Now, even though sexual harassment is considered a direct violation, sometimes we talk about a lot of things have changed in regards to laws and policies because even in schools or at schools, at work, there are laws that protect individuals from sexual harassment. So if you are being sexually harassed at work, at school, report it, do something about it, because we have to learn to use our voices to prevent it, and we have to speak up. And we also have to get involved. So even if you have a coworker and you see your coworker is being sexually harassed or intimidated by someone, sometimes, you know, you can report it anonymously, but you want to make sure that you do something about it because we have many voices. And I also want to give another number and put this number out here. And this one is with Sexual Assault Prevention Awareness. And it's in the state, or it's basically in Michigan, and the number is 7771. So the internet can be used for good, internet can be bad, but there's also information and resources out there. But help is available. It's available. Amy, what else do you want the listeners to know when we're talking about these things? Because I want to go a little bit into also the first step for a person to do if they feel that they're being sexually assaulted or have been assaulted or is being harassed.
To not feel ashamed, like if it's in the workplace, to, you know, if you're not comfortable speaking out about it, just go to someone higher than you or speak to a coworker, because there are laws for a reason. And, you know, people will threaten. You know, there's threats that can intimidate us from speaking out, but it's important that there's justice for that for yourself, because this is something that's becoming is a constant problem. There doesn't seem to be a, you know, it doesn't seem to be getting any better. It seems like it's because people are getting more confident using these words, whether it's on the phone or in person. So just to keep an eye out and be aware of it and communicate with other people to bring awareness to sexual harassment and assault.
Correct. And, you know, Amy, I have some information that I do want to share, and it talks about, and this is from USC, it talks about 6 things to do after you've been sexually assaulted. As we know, beginning the process of healing from sexual trauma with these steps to ensure your safety, help you process your experience, and develop coping skills for long-term recovery. Because people's recovery is going to be different. Don't think that people are going to snap out of it, get over it, because it can impact their behavior. It can affect them in relationships. It can affect them in regards to how they parent. So with people, like I said, the healing process can occur. Now, the trauma of sexual assault can leave the survivor with physical, emotional, and psychological wounds, and each survivor has different experiences and needs and may process and recover from trauma in their own way. But the bottom line is get some type of help, because if you don't get any help and you try to do it on your own, it's going to mask itself and it's going to come out in other areas of one's life. Now, they have an outline and some general steps towards healing. And some of the things that they indicate is ensure your own safety. After the experience of sexual trauma, the first and most important factor should be prioritizing your safety and well-being. Because what happens is, like I said, people go through this thing, so they go to the fight or flight, they shut down. A lot of different things can happen. Another thing, the second one they talk about is reach out for support. Once you feel more physically safe, it's important to connect with a person you trust and support. A lot of times, Amy, it's not the victim that normally makes a report. Sometimes it's other people calling on their behalf because they shared it with someone else. Because the aftershock of sexual trauma survivors often experience depression, anxiety, and disassociation. Now, although, like we talked a little bit about in our culture, we are basically rampant with victim blaming and doubt surrounding the account of sexual assault, that can exacerbate the trauma. So it's crucial to confide in someone you fully trust. Another thing is you can also contact the National Sexual Assault Hotline, and you can find their number either by Googling, you call 211. And there's also, I want to say, financial assistance for individuals who are also a victim of crime. That's a whole other organization that you can also contact. The third thing they talk about is basically consider your medical options. Many survivors may be reluctant to pursue medical attention in an immediate await of sexual assault. It's ultimately up to that person to decide what they want to do in accordance with their own physical, psychological, and emotional needs. But choosing to go to a hospital or a medical rape center after assault can be beneficial for a number of reasons. Tammy and I talked about sometimes a collection of evidence because they can do a rape kit. But not only that, you also want to make sure that you don't or haven't contacted any type of sexually transmitted disease, because that's another thing, and also being pregnant, because some individuals have also have been became pregnant as a result of a rape. So although in some states, and they want it done approximately within the first 96 hours, because you don't want to lose evidence, and if possible, victims who choose to get an exam are encouraged not to shower, don't comb your hair, try not to go to the bathroom or change your clothes before completing the rape kit, because like I said, it's about evidence. And process your experience. The desire to simply avoid addressing or processing the incident can also have a big deal in regards to that. And consider your legal options. Amy, we got another call coming in. I don't know if this is Lady T again, but let me see. Hi, this is Jeanette.
Yes.
Number ending in 3-2. Okay. Anything else, Tammy, you want to add to this conversation? Because I just gave some individuals some information, and also consider your legal options, because a lot of times individuals don't know what to do in regards to that. And
right,
also, connect yourself and your life. Because until you process your trauma and learn how to actively cope, it can be difficult to feel like yourself again. So, Tammy, how did you basically start to feel like yourself again?
Well, you have to, like I said, you have to yell it out. You have to accept it. And then once you accept it and realize this happened to me, and then you take proper steps into, you know, getting help, and you can move on with your life. You can do, you know what, you'll start to realize, like, okay, this is a part of me now, instead of, you know, just falling into depression and just laying down. No, you get up, you tell. Because when you tell, you're saving lives. You don't realize, because there's so many frightened men and women out there that are afraid to come forward. And if they see someone else come forward, they'd be like, oh, my God, I need to say something. And sometimes all it takes is for someone strong enough and willing to step up. And you will be surprised at how many people will follow you and step up.
Correct.
Because at the end of the day, you want people to be all right. You want them to be able to live their life. You want them to be able, if they don't have children, to have children and to be able to raise their children and, you know, and to have and to be able to be in a relationship, you know, a good one, to know how to maintain one and to, you know, to have a healthy relationship. But you have to, you have to accept it first. You have to say, okay, I accept this. This happened now. And then you have to be willing to tell. You have to be willing to say something. Don't let the individual get away with it. Don't sit back and say, you know, they won't believe me, because a lot of people try to tell me that. Don't, they won't believe you. They won't believe you. They won't believe you. You know what you're saying. They won't believe you. And for a minute, I was like, okay. But then I was like, nope, forget it. I'm going forward, because the guy was following me everywhere I was going. And I said, enough is enough. I said, so if you want to put an end to the attack, because they can be repeat offenders. They can come back and try to attack you more if you don't go, if they know you're not going to tell on them.
Correct.
And you don't want the attack to be repeated.
Correct. Now,
they'll play with your emotions. They'll play with your emotions.
We talked a little bit about what the victim should do if it's happening to them. You don't have to become, say, a victim. You can become a survivor. But I want to put this out there for what to do if someone you know is, has been sexually assaulted. And if someone you know is victimized, his or her reactions can vary. Because, see, we can get it from all different levels. Because me as a therapist, I'll hear different individuals coming to me with the type of, with the trauma. But he or she might be angry, sad, or afraid. He or she might respond in ways that seem unusual to you. And the problem is, for example, it could be your friend. They might laugh at what seemingly inappropriate times or appear to have no reaction at all. And in most cases, when we talk about even campus sexual assault, the victim is hurt by someone he or she may know or trust, and is processing. It can be complicated, and the emotions can be frozen, but following the assault and deciding what he or she wants to do forward can take time. But here are some tips that individuals can do if someone discloses an assault to you. First and foremost, listen. If someone discloses an assault to you, it means that he or she trusts you enough to share this incredibly difficult story. Just listen with compassion, and can be incredibly helpful, because sometimes it just wants someone to hear them out. The second thing is believe. Rather than asking a lot of questions, just let that person know that you believe them, and they support them as best as you can. That takes me to, you know, I like watching the show Star with Queen Latifah, where she shared with her sister that she was assaulted by her father, and the mother didn't want to believe her, but the sister did. Now, the options. Sexual assault is a crime of power and control, and in order to get a sense of control back in your life, to get it back, allow that person to carefully choose what option is best. They may not make the same option decision you might make. However, only the victim can decide what is a healthy process for them. You can explore their options by suggesting available resources, because a lot of times they don't know what resources are out there. And take care of yourself, because hearing about an assault can be difficult, particularly when the victimization occurs to someone you care about. Especially, like I said, parents don't know what to do. when their children or young adult is coming to them or telling them, a husband may not know what to do. A wife may not mm-hmm. know what to do if the husband comes home and say, hey, my boss just propositioned me, or my boss just sent me this new picture, and I don't want to lose my job because we may lose our home. They don't know what to do. And just hearing, and what if your friend doesn't want to report? Sometimes it can be possible that the person may not want to disclose the information. Your friend may actually mm-hmm. keep the conversation private. And there are a lot of mm-hmm. reasons why someone may choose not to report sexual violence. And in most cases, like I said, the offender is known to the victim. Your friend could be concerned about that people won't believe them. The victim may have fear of confusion about the criminal justice system. And if drugs and alcohol were involved, the victim may choose not to report because they're worried they will get in trouble as well. And I've seen that mm-hmm. happen again. I mean, before. But let them know that you will believe them and support them, whatever the decision is. Remind them that no one, regardless of the relationship or status within where they're at, has the right to do that. Connect them
right.
to resources that can help. Set expectations and provide an understanding. And tell that person you'll go with them. Because sometimes if you go with them, that's a huge step in the right direction, because your response also matters. What you say don't mm-hmm. have to be perfect, but it's important. Now, I know the listener that's on the line has said they want to listen. Do you want to share anything now? So we're almost at the end of the show. Any comments, response you might want to leave with the listener? Okay, I guess I still don't want to say anything. Okay, Amy, as it relates to this topic, because we are bringing a sense of awareness. We talked about what assault harassment is. We talked about the victim, what they can do, how it can occur. What do you want to leave the listeners with, Amy?
I have
to.
Tammy, I'm going to minimize your background noise. All right, now, well, Tammy, I was shopping. Okay, what do you want to leave the listeners with, Amy?
Wow, that's a lot better now. There's a lot of background.
That's because
you're just to speak out and share awareness and inform your friends that when somebody yells something on the street or does something inappropriate that's done without consent, that is sexual harassment, and that we need to not just minimize how the effects of sexual harassment. I know sometimes when I'm walking home, if I go out with my friends and someone says something and I get home, it just kind of lingers, you know, or you're on edge and you think they're following you. And so we just need to make sure that we don't minimize what is happening in our society.
Correct. I want to put another number out there, and it's the it's a hotline number. It's called SAFE Hotline. The number to call is 877-995-5247, and also connect with a good therapist, because that is traumatizing, and you don't want to punish yourself by not getting some help, because there is help out there. Help is available, and a lot of times individuals are afraid to get the help. Let me click Tammy back on and ask you if there's anything else. Tammy, anything else you want to share with the listeners before we end the show?
No, I was just gonna say that, you know, it was a good show today. And I was happy to just share my experience. And if anyone needs any help or needs to talk to someone and needs to go through it and needs someone to show them the proper steps to get through it, you can always call me. I'm willing to help in any way I can, especially with the military situation, because it is rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing it, Tammy, because at one point you would want to do a healing house. And you haven't said much about that before, where you wanted to open up a shelter for women that were victims
mm-hmm.
of sexual assault. And I am a licensed therapist with 5 different office locations in the city of Oceanside, Fullerton, Cracker Barrel, Huntington Beach, and in Marietta, where I also
mm-hmm.
work with individuals along with Amy, who also helps me with therapy. So if you're out there, don't be afraid and don't feel alone. There is help out there. There are resources out there. Pick up the phone, call somebody, share it. Know also, parents, know the symptoms, the signs. If someone is doing anything to your kids, if you're watching and you're looking at some of the things on their social media or things they're bringing home, if they're being sexually harassed, say something about it. It's not okay. Now, tomorrow, mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about love, marriage, and intimacy. I have a young lady. She's a pastor's wife, and she's also a sex coach. Because a lot of times when a person has been sexually assaulted, it can affect them in ways that also has a lot to do with their relationships, and especially whether believers or non-believers. So she's going to be sharing some tips and information as it relates to how to engage in intimacy within your marriage, especially when you're married and you're a Christian. But sometimes we have these taboo beliefs that we can't do this, we can't do that.
Brett, so he brought it, but let's talk about that.
So until next week, remember, you got this. And thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Bye.